Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealou, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Berry.
So this is the first time since August that this show emanates here without coming off either a game or leading into a Cardinals game. And gentlemen certainly don't like saying that, but that is reality here in 2017 as the offseason, yes, it is officially underway. And we are with you through the Super Bowl here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you as we broadcast from the Cardinals facility in Tempe. It is very quiet, but a lot of work is being done to get this team back into the postseason, Roy. So we're not sitting here in January watching the playoffs as opposed to being a part of the postseason. We'll get into the games earlier in the week as far as what happened later on in the show, but the focus right now is on the Cardinals and getting that team back in the invitation as far as the NFC playoffs is concerned.
You're absolutely correct. You know, most teams are thinking about, you know, the draft and, you know, what they're going to do for the upcoming year and blah, blah, blah. Although those are some of the things they're talking about, but as you just said, it's about the playoffs for this team. They understand the expectations not only within this community but within the organization itself, and they do understand the feeling that they have right now. If you talk to any of the players, any of the coaches, it's just, as you said, it just seems eerie that we're here at this time of year and we're not talking about playoffs or preparing for another football game.
And you brought up expectations, and that is something, B-Tran, that Coach Arians said at his last press conference when he met the media, that the expectations are not going to change. It is Super Bowl and Super Bowl only, and he wants those expectations, and he wants fans and players alike, when those expectations are not met, to be disappointed.
Yeah, they should be disappointed, and that's a sign of a good organization. That's a healthy organization when that is the goal each and every year, not just to be financially straight. You want to make sure that you're competing for championships and you want a Super Bowl ring, to take the quote from Bruce Arians, not just a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl ring. That is the standard, and I think he has created that culture here with the Arizona Cardinals, and it's something that a lot of fans have really they've jumped on because they've been waiting for so long to have that as a consistent winner and a consistent competitor, and when they've tasted that, you don't want to go back to the way that it was, and I think that makes for everybody being on their P's and Q's in this offseason to make sure that 2016 does not repeat itself.
Coach Arians elaborated on this point on his final coaches show, Cardinals Flight Plan, with Ron Wolfley. Here is Coach Arians about 2016 leading into 2017.
There should be a hunger of embarrassment a little bit, underachievement, and it starts with the coaching staff, starts with me, and it'll filter down. But every year is so different. We've shown that the core of our football team has character when they could have tanked it easily, like most teams, but they came to work every day. Keep those core values and add more pieces to the puzzle. Obviously, whether or not Larry or Carson retire, that's going to be huge. We'll wait and see.
Couple of points in that soundbite from Coach Arians. One, Roy, is the embarrassment word that he used, that this team underachieved, because forget of what anyone thought outside of this building here in Tempe. Inside, yeah, it was building upon the NFC Championship game, winning that game, and advancing to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it goes back to that word we just mentioned a few minutes ago, the expectations. The expectations of this football team was to be playing deep into the playoffs with an opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl. And yeah, it is embarrassing because you understand, you know, as a football player in a situation where you know that the window of opportunity is so small and you know that you have the pieces in place to get things accomplished, and you go out with those expectations and you, you know, basically as, you know, to steal from B-Tran, you lay an egg, basically. You know, you don't play up the expectations. You let games get away that you've normally won in the past. Close games, you basically gave them away. And from that standpoint, your expectations are really hurt. You're embarrassed at this point in time. There's nothing worse during this time of year as being a football player is watching everybody else play and you're not playing. It's a terrible feeling.
The second point of that soundbite is Coach Arians bringing up Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald as far as retirement. I think everyone knows about Larry Fitzgerald, but it was interesting for Coach to point out Carson Palmer, something that hasn't really been discussed a lot, though the comment did kind of cause a little bit of a stir late last week, B-Trey, and I think we all expect Carson Palmer to return. He certainly has not played as if he is at the end of his career, and he doesn't sound when he speaks that he is contemplating it, but certainly at the end of the season, everyone kind of goes through a reflection. But I think we're all in agreement here that of the two, if you're going to rank them, Carson Palmer definitely is back. And then the Fitz question we'll get into, but certainly Carson and Fitz, two of the big pieces that need to be answered going into 2017.
The one thing that I always use to measure if a guy is closer to quitting and calling it a career or continuing to play is that R word. And one thing Roy can attest to is if you can verbalize retirement, then you need to go ahead and do it. But if you cannot say that, if that's not part of your vernacular and you're not answering questions with that word being mixed in there somehow, some way, then I think you still have aspirations of coming back. And I think for Larry and Carson, we hadn't heard that word, that particular word. And I always make sure that I pay close attention to what guys say, because if you can verbalize it, you know, it's one of those where you might as well go and do it, because that means it's already in your mind. And the last thing that you can do is go out there and play with that lingering in your mind. You can't have any doubt if you're going to be a player and play at the highest level. Retirement cannot be an option for you while you're trying to go out there and win football games.
Now, the topic of Larry Fitzgerald's future was brought up with team president Michael Bidwell on azcardinals.com.
A lot of this is about how the players' bodies feel in a few weeks and where they are mentally. And so it's premature to start asking a lot of questions right now. But there's no doubt he's among the best players that have ever played that position, and he continues to play at a high level. He's been such a big part of this organization. We certainly hope that he feels good about coming back.
Now, there is no time frame, no magic dates. I know he's thrown out February 1st as a time in which he'll know his body is feeling better 4 weeks, 5 weeks after the season, but he is going to take some time to reflect. We know, Roy, that he is big into traveling. There's some golfing that needs to be done. He made an appearance at the Suns-Cavaliers game the other night, so he is not like he's dodging or gone into hiding, but certainly he is going to take his time and maybe actually needs to see some things or even talk with either Michael or Steve Keim or Coach Arians as far as what is the direction, what do you guys hope to have happen here in 2017, the offseason, before I officially make it that I am on board.
Yeah, you know, he definitely is making the right decision by, you know, taking his time, you know, letting his body get back to feeling good before he makes that decision. But to add to something that B-Train has said, and, you know, this is just me talking, having talked to other players, I think he's coming back also, because not only has he not said that R word, as you said, but generally, I know for me and guys I've talked to, there's generally a point during that season that something happens and you say, man, this is it. You know from something that's happened early in the year. And I don't think that's happened to Larry, because he would know his decision right now and he would go ahead and make it, because that's the kind of guy he is. So I think that because of that, and because of that experience for me and other players I've talked to, and probably some of the guys that you would talk to recently retired from the from this organization, other organizations, there generally was something that happened during the season where it'd be, you know, I couldn't escape, I took a lick, or I saw something on the field that was like, oh my God, I've been doing this for years. It's generally a moment that lets you know it's time, and I don't think either one of those guys has had that moment.
Now, Fitz is under contract, Palmer is under contract, but there are a number of players, in excess of 20, that are not under contract for 2017, and that is why this offseason is going to be a lot of fun to watch, at least for all of us, maybe not so much fun for the front office. But again, going back to the coaches show, Cardinals flight plan with Coach Arians addressing the number of free agents that this team has moving forward.
We started about a month ago prioritizing where we want to go and who we want to get. Obviously, we'd like to get them all back, but you know, there's a thing called a salary cap, so you cannot get everybody back, but hopefully we can get as many as we can.
Of course, Coach Arians didn't say the list of priorities, but I ask you, B-Train, on this list of number of free agents, you know, a top three or top four or group that you want to see this team back, obviously, you know, money aside, but certainly where would you prioritize the Cardinals free agency?
Oh, I would start with Chandler Jones. I think he is the first guy that you have to bring back and bring into the fold. A guy that was double-digit sacks, really came on and had a solid season. You look at Calais Campbell, they're going to really try to push to bring him back. I know he's going to command a high dollar and is highly unlikely. I don't think he'll be back, but I think the Cardinals could talk to him from an emotional standpoint, maybe, you know, say, hey, look, this team is very close and you're that guy. Would you be willing to take the hometown discount? That's about the only way that he comes back, because he played so well. He really earned the money that he's going to receive this offseason. And I look at Tony Jefferson as well. I think a lot of this is going to be on the defensive side. The offensive side is pretty locked up, but the defensive side is where they're going to have to really figure out what direction that they want to go. Do they really want to start over and have James Betcher coach not a whole new group of guys, but enough to where it's not the same feel as we've had in the last couple of years?
Offensively, I do want to point out, because you're right, B-Tran, I think a lot of people focus on the defensive free agents. Offensively, though, Roy, you look at the offensive line, A.Q. Shipley at the center spot. I'll even go across the line as far as the tight end position and Jermaine Gresham. A couple of veterans that have been here now for a while and maybe aren't going to command a lot of money, but certainly you look at glue guys, guys that you can count on because they're available, meaning they don't miss time, they don't miss practice, they don't miss games, that I think this team would love to have back as well.
Oh, without question, they want those guys back. And you know what? I think they're more valuable to the Cardinals than any other teams. You know, you look at their numbers. You know, they're not outstanding numbers, so I don't think they can go out and command, you know, great dollars out on the open market. But the Cardinals know their value. You just talked about reliability, something that we talk about so much. Shipley being the only guy that, you know, played the brunt of, well, mostly all of the plays throughout this season on the offensive line. He's the caller. You know, he talks about the fronts to the other guys. He's the messengers, so to speak. So he's very important. I think the Cardinals recognize that, and they're going to give him fair market dollar. Gresham is a guy who, the second part of the season, he was amazing. You know, he didn't get the many opportunities at the first part of the year, but as the season progressed, he got those opportunities. You saw how fierce he is running the football, and he's very, very valuable in the run game. So I think he's a guy also that will be back, and the Cardinals recognize that, and he wants to be here. He showed that last year.
That's he did. He left money on the table to return to the Cardinals in 2016. Question is, will he do it again in 2017? Join the Arizona Cardinals 2017 season ticket waitlist today. Visit the Cardinals box office or azcardinals.com for more information. We will, again, discuss free agency and specifically that defense on the other side, as we also invite your questions, your comments via social media, hashtag RedSeaReport. We'll get into those later on in the show. And we are want to remind you, we are live streaming on azcardinals.com/live video. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Over the ground by Tony Jefferson.
Great job by Tony Jefferson.
Cut down in the backfield. Again, Tony Jefferson. What a game he's had. And they run it, and Hyde is knocked down in the backfield. Tony Jefferson made the hit. Boy, Tony Jefferson has played so well. Grabbed at the line of scrimmage and brought down by Tony Jefferson. Man, is he good against the run. Ryan in trouble and slammed down by Tony Jefferson. A sack. Tony Jefferson having a terrific season. Knocked away from Jimmy Graham by Tony Jefferson, incomplete.
Tony Jefferson had that one sniffed out.
Fumble the ball, the Cardinals got it. Tony Jefferson has the football. Tony Jefferson clubbed Garoppolo.
I guarantee you, Jimmy Garoppolo right now feels like he got clawed by a bear. Tony Jefferson just waxed his back. That's going to be a bloody mess tomorrow morning.
A career year for Tony Jefferson, fourth season out of Oklahoma, went undrafted. I think that's important to note. Came to the Cardinals, made the team as an undrafted rookie free agent, and this season started the first 14 games before getting hurt on special teams in week 16, finished third with a career-high 92 tackles. His 13 tackles for loss led all NFL defensive backs, had two sacks, five passes defense, two forced fumbles, two fumble recoveries, and three quarterback hits. Not bad for Tony Jefferson, who we already talked about here on the Cardinals Red Sea Reports, is a priority amongst the priorities for the Arizona Cardinals. The question is, can they afford him? Can he... We always say it takes two sides. You know, I can sit there as a player, I want to be back. The team can say, we want you back. And then all of a sudden you get into a room and then the agents and then the salary cap is like, well, this is what we can offer you. Well, I think I'm worth more. And then all of a sudden I'm playing on a different team next season. So there's always that back and forth involved in the off season. But by all accounts, Cardinals want Jefferson back. He wants to be back. It's close to San Diego, his hometown. So he's one of those guys, and he certainly showed on the field his value to this team.
Oh, without question, he showed his value. He's a very important cog in this situation. But, you know, I think that Tony, you know, all situations are different. You know, it's the reason I disagree with B-Train as far as, you know, the Kalea situation. I think because of the years he's played and his security he already has, it's easier for him to say, well, you know what, I can take, you know, the hometown discount. I see the pieces in place, and I can come back. A young player who's, you know, he's trying to establish that type of security from a financial situation, sometimes it's very difficult for him to leave dollars on the table because, you know, you don't know your future, how long you're going to be able, you know, to play at a particular level. You know, you got to weigh in the chance of injuries. So it's very difficult to, when another team is offering you a significant amount more than your home team, to pass it up, even though you know that there's a great opportunity of winning here in Arizona than maybe those other places. Those are things that go on the table, and those are things that happen in negotiation that, you know, each case is significantly different from the way the team views you and the way you view your situation. So it's going to be very, very difficult. But I, like, you know, most Cardinal fans and all of us, would like to see him back and playing at the level he played at this past year. In my opinion, he was a Pro Bowl player that got snubbed.
To a certain extent, B-Train, you've been in this position. Every player goes into free agency a little bit different, but this is the first opportunity for Tony Jefferson to really take advantage, really to be paid, and to what Roy said as far as the dollars. Now, flashback, when you were a free agent and the Cardinals came calling and you chose to come to Arizona. Again, you had been in the league for a little bit longer than Tony Jefferson, but there's that certain point where all of a sudden your financial security means a little bit more than what color jersey I'm going to be wearing for however many years.
Oh, there's no doubt. And when I came to Arizona, I hadn't gotten that big paycheck yet. So it was me talking about the money and the opportunity to come to a place where I thought that they had a chance to win and everything could fall into place and we could be a winner. And if you're Tony Jefferson, you got to go with the money. You got to get the security. And I know a lot of Cardinal fans aren't going to like this, but if he has to go elsewhere to get that, he's got to get that because he's at a point now where he's got to take care of his family. He's got to be able to live long term and set himself up. He can't afford to leave any money on the table. He's not in that position. Being an undrafted guy, he's not financially set. So if a team is going to change your life significantly from a financial standpoint, you got to go with that, man. Right now he's in a spot where he's got to build his life up to where he can really take care of himself and his family for years to come. He's put himself in that position by his play. He's earned that right. And as Roy said, being a young guy, you hadn't gotten that check yet. You can't leave money on the table.
That's the voice of Bertram Berry, Roy Green, Craig Riolu here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. We do this through the Super Bowl every Tuesday, 11 to noon, here from the Cardinals facility in Tempe. We invite your questions, your comments via social media a little bit later on in the show, hashtag Red Sea Report. Now, the defensive core, the defensive free agents that are out there for the Cardinals, certainly Coach Arians would love to have them all back. He addressed the defense and the free agents on this team earlier on Cardinals Flight Plan.
Our defensive core I'm really, really excited to get it going again. We have the pass rush. Coop became a heck of a corner for us. Brandon's going to be a really solid corner. So I think we have good young DBs. Harlan comes out of nowhere. And the key would be getting Tony back.
Now Coach Arians putting a priority on Tony Jefferson. The coop that he mentioned is Marcus Cooper, another unrestricted free agent. I'll even throw out DJ Swearinger, another safety that's an unrestricted free agent. This team certainly, I think, in the secondary, Roy, has some questions to be asked. We know Patrick Peterson is going to lock down one side of the field at the cornerback position. What about the other side? Is it Marcus Cooper? Can they re-sign him? Is it Brandon Williams, Justin Bethel? Is it someone else out there in free agency or the draft? Then at the safety position, Tyrann Mathieu's health. How does he come back in 2017? Does that mean you have to have Tony Jefferson or DJ Swearinger back? That, to me, if you're looking at position groups, certainly has a lot of questions that need to be figured out here. Maybe even before you address free agency, where does this team want to go?
You know what? They do have a lot of questions to address, you know, in that secondary. But I think they're different questions than in the past. You know, in the past it was, hey, we got to find that corner opposite Patrick. I think they think or feel like they found that in the way that Cooper has played this year prior to getting hurt. You know, he's a guy that he was admirable on that side, you know, when he was healthy. I think that Justin Bethel in the last 3 or 4 weeks has proven to me, you know, which doesn't matter at all, but has proven to me he can definitely be that guy. He's always been in position to make plays, but he never did. You know, he didn't turn his head around. He was always in position. He just didn't make the play. The last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, he was making those plays. We know from an athletic standpoint, he's as the closest thing to Patrick Peterson probably that's in the league, you know, with the speed, you know, the change of direction, you know, the ball skills, all of those things. So I think he's that guy. And from the safety standpoint, now we found a guy, we took him off a practice squad who, you know, wasn't even in our plans, and now he's a guy that everyone's talking highly of. So the questions now are different. They're like, who are we going to put there? We have guys to put there, whereas in the past, it was, we have nobody. We got to find out if these guys can play. But now we know that Swearinger can play. We know that Miller can play. Obviously, you know, the only question in my mind about the secondary now is the health of the Honey Badger.
And because of the health, B-Train, is the reason why Tony Jefferson had such a good year. Why Justin Bethel, they perhaps found a spot for him playing inside because Tyrann Mathieu was unavailable. Tyrann Mathieu wasn't himself, so Tony Jefferson had to do a little bit more early on in the season. It's one of those things that you want a healthy Tyrann Mathieu, yet at the same time, his injury opened up the door for a Jefferson, for a Harlan Miller, for a Justin Bethel. Now you're trying to fit these pieces together. Can you keep all of them, and then how do you get all of them on the field to where this defense works to where we think it can be?
It's going to be very, very difficult for Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. They're going to have to, as he said, they've started last month prioritizing what guys are going to be what. And how desperate they want to go after certain guys in order to maintain their services. And I think to some degree, there's going to be two or three guys that have their feelings hurt in the secondary. There's going to be guys that they're going to be told, hey, look, we would love to have you, but we just can't afford you. You look at what Marcus Cooper did. He's a Pro Bowl alternate. There could be a scenario where he could actually find himself in the Pro Bowl. And once you have that recognition behind you, your demands go up. You know, now you consider yourself a guy that deserves a certain amount of pay, and you're not going to be willing to settle for less than that. So it's a very fluid situation here with the secondary. There are lots of guys that shown that they could play. As far as Harlan Miller is concerned, he's not going to be an issue this year from a financial standpoint because, you know, he's happy to be here. He's a guy. He's a rookie. He got to play. He went and showed that he deserves to be on the 53. But he's not going to be somebody that you're going to have to worry about for a couple of years. But you look at Marcus Cooper and you look at DJ Swearinger, those guys feel like, hey, I can play. I deserve a little bit of more than a minimum. I'm not just going to play for just the bear. So we'll see how this thing plays out. Again, I don't envy Steve Keim and Bruce Arians because it is going to be really, really tough, some of those conversations that they will have.
Cardinals have upwards of $40 million under the salary cap. How do they divide that money up? Well, here is team president Michael Bidwell addressing that on azcardinals.com.
The salary cap is a pie, and we've got to make sure that we've got enough pieces of the pie so we've got depth on special teams, depth when you have injuries to have players that can back up, and that we don't get too big of a slice to too few players to where you lose that depth and some of the things that we relied on towards the end of this year.
March 9th is the start of the new league year. It's the start of free agency, and what is happening between then and now, Roy, is, as we said, prioritizing that free agency. Even perhaps maybe, and I'm just thinking out loud here, you're going in, it's like, well, if we devote X number of dollars to this player, then that leaves us Y dollars for that player. It's something that I think they all go through because, as you heard Michael say, it is that pie, whether it's, you know, and then how big of a slice do you give to one guy and then how much is left for someone else. As B-Train said, it's certainly nothing that I would like to be involved with. Certainly, I enjoy spending other people's money. That's not an issue.
But I like how
do you, but how do you go about in saying you get X, you get Y, and I'm sorry, Z, you're left with this?
You know, it's a difficult situation, I think, for each and every football team. I think each team makes their decisions differently. You know, as we just talked about, the Cardinals have players that know can play, have proven they can play, so they know that they have to give an X amount of dollars. Other teams who aren't as talented, pretty much they designated X amount of dollars for each position. It's pretty easy. Plus, we're in a position where, you know, we're expected to do well, so it's very important to get those right people played and get the right mixture on the football field. It's a very, very difficult situation. I don't know how they're going to go about it. It's definitely above my pay grade.
Certainly a lot of fun to watch from afar. The playoffs began with 12 teams, down to 8. We'll discuss Wild Card Weekend and look ahead at the divisional playoffs coming up this weekend. That's all straight ahead here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. A reminder, a little bit later on, your questions, your comments via social media, hashtag Red Sea Report. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Bring me a little sliver of that pie.
With 6 seconds to play before halftime in Green Bay at the 42 of the Giants. Shotgun snap to Rodgers. Backpedals. Now winds up. Moves up. Arching spiral pass. It'll end up in the end zone. It's a jump ball and it's caught. It's caught. Back of the end zone. It's caught. Randall Cobb, an over the shoulder catch on a jump ball under the crossbar. The Packers have scored. 42-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass. As time expires in the first half, Rodgers to Randall Cobb.
To quote the official Twitter account of the Arizona Cardinals, seen that before. Everyone has. Aaron Rodgers has made a habit of the Hail Mary. 38-13, Packers knock off the Giants. Kevin Harlan on Westwood One calling one of four Aaron Rodgers touchdown tosses. And I turn to you, Roy Green, as a former wide receiver and defensive back. A lot of luck involved, but considering Rodgers has now done this a handful of times, there's got to be a little bit of skill involved because he has done this for a Hail Mary on a pretty consistent basis.
Oh, there's definitely some skill involved, without question, because, you know, you practice this, you have, everybody has a responsibility, and the quarterback has to put it in the vicinity, you know. Hail Mary is a, what is it, 47 yards down the field, has to have a certain amount of height to it. It has to be within, within play to make the catch. So there's definitely a lot of skill involved, but there's a little bit of luck too. Let's understand that the shortest guy on the field made the catch. The shortest of all their receivers is the guy that came down with the ball. So, you know, there's a little bit of luck in it also.
B-Train, you were shaking your head during the highlight because the Cardinals, the Detroit Lions, also experienced that last season. Cardinals, you can make an argument on twice, not so much in the end zone, but another desperation heave near midfield in that game. So certainly something that everyone knows it's happening. And you always hear, just knock the ball down. And that ball just landed right into Cobb's hands.
The New York Giants did not deserve to win that game because of that play. I will say, when you are in that situation, you are taught as a defensive player, get the ball at the highest point and knock it down. There were at least three guys in that end zone, and none of them looked at the ball, it seemed as if. And for Randall Cobb to push off the one guy, what was he looking at? What was he doing? And then the other two guys that were around it, they didn't even make an attempt. They didn't even jump. They didn't leave the ground. in order to try to knock the ball down. So they got exactly what they deserved. Everybody wanted to put all the heat on the receivers for going to Miami. Well, what about the defensive guys? Because they didn't show up either in that playoff game. So, you know, what are you going to blame them on? I mean, you know, were they just not seen in the boat? It was a complete team effort in New York's spot, and for them to go out there and wet the bed the way that they did at Lambeau, they got exactly what they deserved.
There's a reason defensive backs are defensive backs. You know they all wanted to be receivers at one time. That's all I'm saying.
But even that, they would at least jump up for the ball and look at the ball. Half of the guys didn't even know that the ball was coming down.
You think they can actually judge a ball? They're defensive backs. They can't judge it. I mean, they can't deal with you, Roy. Their reference of where the ball is, come on, you're a defense. Well, I'm sorry, you're a defensive
back. Wow.
You're a little sensitive.
Wow.
But that's been about six defensive backs in the course of NFL history that could actually catch.
It's football
one. One of them moved to offense. Right now.
Football. Hey, don't throw your shoulder out, pat yourself on the back. But look for the ball and knock it down. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. You're taught to do that, but like you said, there are four defensive backs there that just looked at it, didn't know when to jump, didn't know how to time their jump, and just kind of watched the, you know, catch at the back of the end zone. That's all I'm saying.
Rodgers finished with 362 yards, four touchdowns. Packers have won seven in a row. Rodgers, during this winning streak, 19 touchdowns, no interceptions. Ooh. The Packers now will play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. The other NFC wildcard matchup was Seattle and Detroit, and this one was one-sided. In fact, all the wildcard games were one-sided. 26-6, Seattle wins, and they do it on the ground. B-Train, Thomas Rawls, a playoff franchise record, 161 yards and a touchdown. Seattle's won 10 in a row playoff games at home.
Yeah, and you're really surprised when you think of some of the running backs that have been there. Sean Alexander, Marshawn Lynch most recently, for Thomas Rawls to have the franchise record. That really shows that they were bound and determined to get him going. And some of those holes that he had, I could have run through. The three of us could have run through side by side. It just looked as if Detroit was outmatched. They went into the game, lost three in a row, and they had no confidence whatsoever. And Matthew Stafford was not the same quarterback after that finger injury. And so it just looked as if they didn't deserve to be there. And you don't want to say that for a playoff team, but it was very hard to argue otherwise when you saw the fact that they didn't even sniff the end zone at any point in that game.
Never ran a play inside the Seattle 33-yard line, did Detroit.
It's embarrassing.
They end their season with four straight losses, and you bring up Matthew Stafford and the finger injury and something that, you know, he's not going to make an excuse, but it certainly did seem like it tilted the tide of the season because they end up 9-8, and a lot of people threw out Stafford as an MVP candidate, and Detroit is one of those teams to watch in the playoffs.
Unfortunately, we know here about a quarterback with a finger issue. It can definitely derail what you're trying to do in the postseason. So it's unfortunate for the Lions. The timing was terrible, but that's the way that it goes. You have to be able to deal with adversity when it comes your way.
So now Seattle will play Atlanta. That game is on Saturday, a rematch of a game earlier in the season, which Seattle won 26-22, but that game was in Seattle and some controversy at the end of that contest. Now the Falcons get Seattle in Atlanta in the postseason. As we continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Still to come, your questions, your comments via social media, hashtag Red Sea Report. AFC matchups real quick. It will be on Saturday, Houston at New England. The Texans took out the Raiders, who had their own quarterback issues, 27-14. And Pittsburgh advanced past the Dolphins, 30-12. The Steelers will take on Kansas City in Kansas City. By the way, for that Steelers game, first time the Big Three, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, played together in the postseason, all played very, very well. And Roethlisberger, seen with a walking boot, not a problem. He is out of that boot and should be good to go this weekend. Coming up next, Lisa Matthews will join us with your questions here. Hashtag Red Sea Report. Talk playoffs, talk Cardinals, talk 2017. That's all straight ahead here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Touchdown, Arizona! Calais, Calais, Calais! last couple.
If this is indeed your last show, if this is indeed your last show, and this is your last season as an Arizona Cardinal, anything you'd like to say to the Red Sea?
Well, I appreciate the love, and I understand, you know, you guys really want me back, you know, and I really want to be back. You know, it's been an unbelievable ride. The last 9 years have been amazing. I've been blessed to be able to play the game I love at a high level. You know, I've been dreaming of this moment since I was, you know, 6 years old, since I can remember, really. You know, all I want to do is play in the NFL for a great franchise, and, you know, this has really been home, and I appreciate the Bird Gang, the Red Sea, for making this home for me.
Calais Campbell in one of his final appearances, final live appearance on the Big Red Rage. And what was Jim Omahunder telling us before the show, B-Train, that he is second to you, I guess, in hosting that show? So that alone is motivation for him to come back for next season, to top Bertram Berry as far as the all-time host of, or co-host of, the Big Red Rage.
Athletes are petty. They want to own every record known to man. So I know he would love to come back, but I think the actual salary that he would get, I think that would outweigh it.
On the pluses and minuses, that was, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's secondary. You know it.
Welcome back into the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Rea, Leroy Green, Bertram Berry, and joined right now by Lisa Matthews, who has a number of questions from the fans out there as we say welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hello. Thank you. The first question, really digging deep, it's from The Real Ian Will. Mm. If you don't know, now you know. If you can only have one back next season, Calais Campbell or Larry Fitzgerald, who would you want back? So really this has to do with who has a greater impact for this team.
I'm going to go Fitz. Last I checked, he just led the league in receptions, and he is still a very productive player. He brings a lot to the table, not just on the field, but off the field as well. He is basically an institution here in Arizona. You look in University of Phoenix Stadium, you see a few 93s out of respect, but it's a whole lot of 11s. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, for one, he makes a lot of sense financially for the Cardinals to bring him back, and I think for production on the field, there's nobody that does what Fitz does.
Roy?
Wow.
Wow.
You know, it's very difficult to begin with because you think about, you know, the impact of Calais. You know, people kind of lose the sight of, you know, on that defense, you know, how invaluable he is. Another guy who should have made the Pro Bowl this year, you know, he helps Chandler Jones do what he does. He helps the junkyard dog, you know, get off like he does. He plays the run and the pass admirably. And he's a team leader also. But, you know, regards to popularity, yeah, there's no match without question. And plus, I have a little beef with Larry right now. I don't want him to get any further ahead of me in my records.
When do you not have a beef with number 11?
Well, he just started a travel agency, and I'm trying to take a trip, and I call him up, and he sends me an email here's the email to the guys that run the company. No, I want some personal service from him. So because of that, I'm going with Calais.
Did I mention athletes are petty? did I not mention that?
You both are
I love you, Larry. You know what?
I'll just add to this about the leadership aspect, and every position room needs a leader in there, and that's what Calais Campbell brings you, and you'll lose that without him. Frosty Rucker is an unrestricted free agent, potentially losing him. You do have Corey Peters under contract, so you do need guys with a young group that can mentor and guide them. And I think that's what Fitz does with wide receivers and a Calais mm-hmm. Campbell does with the defensive line.
Yeah, both have been here a long time. It's hard to imagine a Cardinals team without them. It's going to be sooner rather than later, unfortunately.
We want them both, just for the record.
Yeah, for
the
record.
And I want that travel to be free, too, by the way.
That's a phone call you need to make with Fitz off the air.
Or I can get that sliver.
Next question coming from Matthias mm-hmm. Brown. Would a receiver chosen in the first round be unnecessary, considering Jerron Brown coming back?
I think it would be unnecessary. I mean, we expect Jerron to make it back, and we've all talked about his versatility. He could be probably a one or two on another football team. He's very valuable. And with the way that Nelson has matured, John Brown, we expect to have his issues behind him from a medical standpoint on how to treat them. Those both are big play receivers. So you have guys that can definitely make plays. So I don't think that should be a priority.
Big play receiver, we already have that. You don't need another guy to come in. Yes, you would love to have more. If some is good, more is better. But you look at Mike Williams. We just saw him last night at the University of Clemson. Oh, yeah. Didn't Jerron Brown go to?
Clemson.
Oh, okay. So, you know, you're basically bringing in another guy from the same team that does the same thing. So I don't think you go first round. But I think you do address that position at some point in the draft.
All right, next question coming from Josh. Who has the biggest offseason ahead for them? Which player?
I'm going Thomas Jefferson. I think he has really played himself into a lot of money. He played at a hometown discount last year. He's not taking that this year. He's looking for checks, so he's looking to cash in on his efforts the last 2 years, and deservedly so.
I'm not disputing that.
All right, a lot of guys, especially coming off injury, that need to work hard this offseason to get back on that field in 2017. Lisa, we'll appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Talk more Cardinals, talk more playoffs. Special thanks to our broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical directors Andy Greenberg and Cody Fincher, in-studio coordinator Grant Greeley. For Bertrand Berry, Roy Green, I'm Craig Riolu. Again, the Cardinals Red Sea Report each and every Tuesday, 11 to noon, here from the Cardinals facility in Tempe, with you through the Super Bowl, talking all things NFL. All presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.